If you will, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. About 5 months ago or so, I think I was there. John chapter 15, verse 5. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things have I heard that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant's not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep your saying. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But they have now, they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Let's pray. Father, we ask you for your blessing. May the Holy Spirit of God take his word, apply it to our minds and our hearts and our lives, and bring a blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 5 months ago, I think I was here. At any rate, I've had a good time. I love the Gospel of John, probably more than any other area of the Bible. I do love the Psalms and the Proverbs and I love all of the Bible, and I read all of the Bible. But the Gospels just have a special place in my heart. Here we have the story of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to earth to die in our place and give us salvation when we weren't even looking for him. We weren't seeking him. We get in trouble sometimes because we won't listen to him. But most of the Gospel of John was Jesus' ministry. And up through the 12th chapter, you have his outward ministry with public speaking and doing miracles and doing things like that. Now, when you come to the next four chapters, this is part of it, or one of them. This is Jesus' private teaching to his disciples before he goes to the cross. The last week of his life. And he's got them aside. They're not out in the streets. They're not out there arguing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And you find these four or five chapters here, real teaching about what they were going to do, what their purpose was. And by the way, that comes all the way down to us. What he's teaching them, it's true for us too. So go back to verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends, for look at this little statement here. All things. Is that absolutely possible? That blows my mind.
Yeah.
For all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you.
Wow.
You know what? You got a book that you don't use enough.
Yeah, amen.
You don't know well enough. It is the Word of God.
Amen.
It will change your life. It will change your family's life. It will change the world. And it will. Praise the Lord. All things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. A few times in my life, and I've studied the Bible for now 68 years, basically. And I read many, many times the same amount of chapters out of the Old Testament as out of the New Testament. So I completed the New Testament four times faster than the Old. I would read in one reading of the Old Testament, I will have read four New Testaments. And so that was just the way that I did it. And I just took great pleasure in it. I really did. Something happened to me, and I realized that what I had was the Word of God. And if it is the Word of God, then I ought to know it.
Amen.
I ought to be able to understand the hard sayings. Now, there's still some hard sayings that I used to say I was going to ask God about. I don't think I'll even bother Him. I've looked at enough things that I don't know to know how valuable it is that He knows.
Amen.
Do you realize how really smart God is?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Wow. Didn't they just say on this new telescope that they've discovered 19 spiral galaxies and like our Milky Way? And they're not through yet. They're not telling what the next telescope's going to reveal.
Amen.
And how about all the little, you know, your eye is a wonderful thing. I value my eyesight. Do you realize how many different kinds of eyes there are? And that's programmed. That's programmed. It's written into your DNA or the DNA of that animal. Wow. It blows my mind. The telescope and the periscope. Well, anyway, all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. Man, this is a valuable book. Much more valuable than most people give it credit for being. If you understood it a little more, you'd read it a little better and you'd read it a little slower. I used to be a speed reader of sorts, and I found out I needed to either read it over again and over again and over again or slow down.
Yeah.
You got to think about some of this stuff. When you get a verse that catches you, you're reading, and of course you want to finish your two or three chapters or your 10 or 15 chapters, whatever you're doing in your personal Bible study. Listen, when a verse catches your attention, stop.
Amen.
Read that verse again and again and again and let it soak in. Man, it might give you comfort that you haven't had in a long time. There's a lot of miserable people in the world. You watch the news. If you watch the news, you see miserable people.
Yeah.
Happy people aren't news.
Right.
A train wreck, a plane wreck, somebody shooting up the school teacher. That's news. Wow. You get a hold of a verse in the Bible and all of a sudden it catches your attention. Camp there. Just as long as it takes. Camp there. It'll bless your life, the rest of your life. Wonderful thing. You ought to be reading your Bible every day. If you're not, you should be. All things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now he's telling this to his individual disciples. I came here, I have chosen you, and I've taught you. I put you in a 3-year seminary is what he did. Where they walked with him, they ate with him, they slept with him, they worked with him. They knew him. They knew him. Now, soldiers sometimes have this kind of a way to go. Some of the soldiers are in their camp or their group, and they are together all the time. Just all the time. They go through hardships and whatever. They build some great, great friendships. And we learn a lot of things about each one. They know more things about you than you can imagine. He said, all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now, that means this Bible's pretty important. Much more important than what you ever considered it.
Yeah.
And it will bless your life. I have so many doctors. I'm supporting the medical profession. Some of you are equal to me. But everywhere I go now, and because I have too many doctors and they all want to see me two times a year, they want to know my mental health. Are you feeling bad today? Could you feel better? Yes, of course I could feel better. I could be 30 years younger. You want to give me that? People are blown away. Do you know what? This is a great book for attitude.
Yes, sir.
It's a great book for pleasure. Wow. I love Daniel and all those stories in Daniel. And that's where my grandma Kincaid started me out when I was a little bitty tyke. I couldn't even talk. And she's teaching me Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, under the bed we go. It's a great book. Spend a little more time with it. Turn the television off. Read your Bible every day of your life.
Amen.
Just read it right straight out of the Bible.
Amen.
Yeah, you can be blessed. All things, would you like to know all things?
Amen.
He said, all things that I've heard of my Father. That's Jesus talking to these disciples. All things.
Yeah.
Wow, this book's got more there. You must have missed some of it.
Yeah.
You must have read it too fast. You may not have understood the words. Maybe you need a dictionary sitting beside you. I was taught that if you want to really read, keep a dictionary beside you. And when you're reading, when you see a word that you don't know, look it up. It'll give you, you don't have to go to school to get an intelligence or to get an education. All things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. This is a valuable, valuable, valuable book. It is valuable time. Read it and pass it on. Get something that you enjoy. Wow. When something interests your mind, that's a time to go for it. Anyway, that's a pretty great statement as far as I'm concerned. Wow, this Bible may be much more important than you ever thought it was.
Yeah, amen.
All things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. He said, you've not chosen me. I thought I chose him.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
Didn't you make a choice?
Yeah.
You make a choice and say, I'm going to take Jesus. But he said, no, I chose you.
Wow.
You know why you chose him? Because he chose you. You heard his invitation. You heard him saying, whosoever.
Amen.
And I wrote my name in there one time. Well, if it's whosoever, Lyndall Kincaid fits.
Yeah.
Fits real good. For if Lyndall Kincaid shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved.
Amen.
I have had so many blessings. I am so blessed.
Amen.
I don't know why I'm still alive. I don't know why I'm still here. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to teach as best I can.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I have made known unto you. I have chosen you. Wait a minute. Ordained you. When they set me apart as a preacher, they ordained me. They had a meeting. They laid their hands on me. They prayed for me. And all these other preachers did the same thing. Well, Jesus said, for you. He chose you. He ordained you. You have a job to do. You ever thought about that? Did you realize what that might amount to in your life? Being ordained for a specific purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there are certain people you can touch that nobody else can touch. Wow. Every once in a while I meet one of them. And it's always a wow moment for me. It really is. Wow. God has moved in my little area of my life and helped me. I just got this year, a man is in his 70s, Cesar Adan Herrera Piedra Santa in Guatemala. He was a 17-year-old boy and he lost his horse and Billy and Eddie caught him for him. Took him back, and so he come up to me. He was just like a grown man. He come up to me, bragging on my boys. Bragging on my boys. Down there in Guatemala, you could get a workman for $1 a day. American dollar a day. And so I asked him, I said, do you have a job? And he said, no. I said, do you want a job? He said, yes. I said, well, I don't know a communist from a guy that loves America. And Guatemala, we were full of communists. They were killing each other right and left all the time. And the whole eastern side of Guatemala was controlled by the communists. I'm out there preaching, and I'd have no clue. I have no clue who the communists are and whatever. I said, do you know the communists? Can you point them out? Can you see them and recognize them? He said, yes, I can. I said, would you like to have a job with me? Ride around with me, and all you got to do is let me know when I'm in trouble. Because I don't know when I'm in trouble. I don't know when I'm in the wrong crowd. I don't know when I'm doing the wrong thing. He said, yeah, how do I get to do that? Well, he starts riding in the pickup, and I'd go for 5 or 6 hours and preaching out, and I'd use a PA system on the top of my pickup out in the fields to preach to them from the road. And after a while, he said, I can do that. I said, you can do what? I can do that. What you're doing? I can do that. And he got saved. And so then he got saved, and he started preaching. So he'd preach for a while, I'd preach for a while, he'd preach for a while, I'd preach for a while. He's still preaching.
Amen.
He's in his 70s. He's still preaching. He wrote me an email this year thanking me for being his father in the faith.
Amen.
Now, is that a blessing or not?
Amen.
Bro, I tell you what. I have chosen you and ordained you. God has a work for you. It's a spiritual work just as much as being a preacher or a missionary is a spiritual work. Your witness is important. You don't realize how much the individual personal witness of a Christian counts at his job, at his home, just maybe down the street. I gave away, I don't know how many, really nice little New Testaments. I used to carry a little New Testament, about that size, in my pocket everywhere I went. It cost about $18 to $20 way back in those days when dollars were worth more. And I would be on an airplane, and I'd meet some guy, and I'd be witnessing to this businessman going somewhere. I'm heading for another revival meeting or something like that. And I'd end up, he didn't have it. I'd give him my Bible. I don't know if any of them ever read it after they left me, but I gave them the opportunity.
Amen.
They didn't get away. You've been ordained. What that ordaining is, it says we're setting you apart for a job. God came into your life, and you're supposed to be a conduit, a wire, let the electricity can run, that the Holy Spirit can touch somebody.
Amen.
Do you realize you can do that?
Right.
You can do that. You ought to be sensitive to that. Anyway, I've ordained you. Now here's what he said. Here, what he ordained you to do, to go and bring forth fruit. Isn't that a beautiful verse? God set you apart to bear fruit.
Amen.
That's something. Go and bring forth fruit that your fruit should remain. Well, Cesar and Judy are still witnessing in Guatemala. I went back 20 years later when Billy was on the mission field, and I looked up most of the 10 preacher boys I had in Guatemala. I think I found 7, and they were still going on for the Lord. The other 3 I never found. They moved somewhere else or whatever. That's something.
Praise the
Lord. That's something. I got saved 67 years ago. And I've been actively reading the Bible and preaching the Bible and teaching the Bible. And what I want to do, I'm not necessarily looking for the deepest thoughts and stuff like that. I'm just looking to make it simple. Make it plain. It's what I wanted always to do, because some people say, I don't want to read the Bible. I can't understand it. Yes, you can understand it. You've got to put a little attention to it. But you can understand it. Read it with a good dictionary beside you. Wow, you might learn a few words. Go and bring forth fruit. I still want to bear fruit. I want to bear fruit today.
Amen.
I want somebody that listens to me today will seek the Lord, get encouraged to seek the Lord.
Amen.
That might be a lost person getting saved. That might be a backslidden Christian getting back right with God. That might be you getting back with your family.
Right.
I had this man that come to me one time. We were friends. And we weren't believing friends. We were just friends. Cross the fence friends. And he was complaining about his 50-year-old son. His son hadn't called him in several years. He said, "Don't you blame him for that?" I said, "No, I blame you. You're the dad. Call him." He did. He went in and called him. The boy was out in California and he was still in Texas. I got to meet the boy. He made up. The boy came from California, came to him, spent a week with him, and talked to me across the fence. You know what? You can touch people.
Amen.
There are people you have an influence over. And that's important. That's why you need to live a good testimony. You don't need to be throwing away your testimony. You don't need to be going to a lot of places that people go to. You need to clean up your language.
Yeah.
Right. I gave up half my language when I got saved.
Yeah.
Some of you did too. The only thing I knew in Spanish was cuss words. And I knew what they meant. And I used them back at the Spanish boys that were cussing me. But then I had to learn how to preach the gospel in Spanish. And hey, it's pretty nice to know the King James when you're translating. I know that Romans 6 has to say this. I know what it says. Wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. You've been ordained. God called you. He didn't just save you so you could sit back and roast.
Amen.
He saved you so he can get some work out of you. He might get the testimony of your mouth out of you. He might make you a printer of the Word of God. Wow. How about just a witness to what God has done in your personal life? Do you know that touches more people than you can possibly imagine?
Wow.
People get touched when they see something happening in your life. I watch the news and I see these poor kids. They don't stand a chance.
Right.
The kind of parents they've got, the kind of conditions they're in. I don't feel bad about all the people trying to get to this country. I would too. If I were not in the country, I would try to get into the country. I don't blame them a bit. The only problem is we can't handle them. And we've got a government and we've got presidents that aren't doing their job because this is a big job and it's a big job for America.
Amen.
Where were the goose laid the golden egg, man? Do you realize how rich you are? I don't think you do. Solomon would have loved to have my little Ford out there. Wow, he'd give me 100 horses for that thing. Most beautiful horses in his stable. You've got air conditioning. You've got running water in your house. You have heat. You have a stove. Your kids go to school. Somebody teaches them. Back in the Old Testament times, the Jews were about the only people who knew how to write. There were other people, but a lot of people didn't. Listen, when I started preaching 60-something years ago, I went to churches right here in Texas that had grown men and women that could not read or write. That's something. We had the little envelopes, you know, that you pass out. Did you give your offering? Did you read the scriptures and whatever? And we agreed that the people who couldn't read, they could check it to, if they listened to it for somebody else to read it to them. You know, we had people, honest people, sweet people, hardworking people, they couldn't read and write. I had a boy, he was a great football player. And I won't say his name anyway. He got killed in the ninth grade, right outside the teacher's lounge, right in the hallway. He didn't care a thing about school. All he wanted to do was play football. In those days, he could play football with no grades. All F's, he could still play football. He died in the ninth grade. Two drugged up gang members came to attack the little boy that had the locker next to him. He jumped in to defend him. There's two boys with knives and they were high on glue. Wow. Well, one of them had a 7-inch blade, cut his heart, ripped his neck with a banana knife, and he died. You know something? Those two boys actually got back in school and got the best lawyer in town. Fred Saman at the time was a criminal lawyer. And he got them off on self-defense. Because the football player came in fighting to protect this boy. They were attacking the boy. How about that? Well, they ended up, one of them got killed in gang warfare and the other one went to prison, got killed in prison. But you know, you've got a job to do. You've got a testimony to give. You've got a witness to establish. You have the knowledge of the Word of God. All that you have that to give to somebody else. God is looking for you to bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. That's a big job. It's such a big job, I think I fail all the time. I do love my family. I love my wife tremendously. I love all my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids. I love you. And yet I love me more. You do too. That's a real problem. Amen. That's a real problem. Look at verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. You might as well expect to be hated. If you're going to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and make yourself a testimony that you stand out for Jesus, then the world's going to hate you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Hey, you've been brought into a different kingdom. You've been brought into a different job. You've been brought into a different neighborhood. You belong with the people of God. Do you realize what a privilege that is? What a privilege. How much do your friends affect you? A lot of you wouldn't drink if your friends didn't drink, offer it to you. Some of you wouldn't smoke if you didn't have that opportunity. Makes a difference. Pick your friends. I've seen drug heads go to rehabs, very expensive rehabs. And then 3 or 4 months later, they're going again. They didn't change their friends. One of the biggest problems they had, they did not change their friends, and they needed to change their friends. If you want to get rid of some of these things, you need to get away from them. Amen. He's ordained you that you to bring forth fruit and that your fruit will remain. That's beautiful. You witness to somebody and let them get saved? Wow. What a blessing. Now, verse 20, remember the word which I said unto you. Like I said, this is private ministry of Jesus in the last week before his crucifixion. To his disciples, that they've been going around, they've been preaching themselves out, they've heard him when he preached, they've seen him stop funerals in the they've seen him bring Lazarus back to life. But now he's talking to them. He says in verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. Expect some problems. If you're going to be a Christian and you're going to go to heaven, and you're going to be with Jesus, and you're going to stand as a testimony for him, expect some problems. Some people are not going to like you. Some people are going to lie about you. It happens. If you're of the world, verse 19, the world would love his own. Now look at verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. Okay, he's been teaching them for 3 years. He says, remember the word that I taught you. Servant's not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do to you for my name's sake. It's not really you, it's the friendship you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I tell somebody this is the Word of God, I trust it by faith that it is the truth. There's some people that no, you can't do that. That's written by men. Well, that's my belief.
Yeah, amen.
You want to know what I think? Where I go? Yeah. I don't go to the seminary. I don't go to the college. I don't go to a bunch of my friends. I go to the Word of God.
Amen.
And I do my best to make my decisions based upon this.
Amen.
You say, well, I know a thing that you differ with me on. Well, so what? I differ with you. You differ with me. Man, read it for yourself.
Amen.
You're going to want to say that's going to stand up before Christ and decide at the judgment. Judge for yourself. Don't trust somebody else. Read it for yourself. What does it say to you? And then do it. Hey, that's much harder than you think. Remember the word that I said unto you. Remember the word. Servant's not greater than his Lord. That's a couple of big ifs in that verse 20. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Do you realize that those that hate you because you're a Christian, they hate God? They hate the Word of God. They hate righteousness. Wow. That's some big ifs. Verse 20. Look at verse 22. Gives another one of those ifs. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Well, they don't say they hate him, but they do by their actions. And then here, look at verse 24. I think here's one of the grace proof texts for me on the Bible being the Word of God, whatever. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did. You realize Jesus raised the dead 4 days in the grave. Jesus stopped funeral processions going down the road. Jesus restored the sight of a man born blind. Gave him his first sight. He did things nobody else has ever done. You say, well, I know this Pentecostal preacher over here, he's raising the dead all the time. Yeah, right. I have been to those Pentecostal meetings as a preacher. I didn't let them know I was a preacher. I was sat in the audience, and one time they called me up and said, you know how they called me? He said, I want all you God-called preachers come up on this platform with me. I'm a God-called preacher, and I got up and went. This guy on this side said, hey, where are you from? I said, such Baptist. He just shook up like that. Some of that's junk.
Yeah, amen.
At the one entrance, they had like Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. That's what they took the offerings up in. They passed their offering plate four times. Didn't get enough. Didn't get enough. Now, there's garbage in that.
Right, amen.
You understand? You cannot, just because a man's a preacher doesn't mean he's a lot of liar.
Right.
And there are a lot of liars in the world.
Amen.
In fact, you're one.
Amen.
We're all liars.
Right.
Oh, man. I'm not going to tell you. How does this dress look on me? I'm not going to tell you the truth. I like you too much. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want you mad at me for the rest of my life.
Right.
It looks great, honey. It's wonderful. You ever tell white lies?
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Amen.
Don't you sit around with your self-righteous attitude. I don't lie. You lie. You lie. You lie.
Amen.
Wow. If I had not done among them the work which none other man did. Well, look at verse 26. Verses 26 and 27. When the comforters come. Wow. Jesus is speaking about himself coming back in the body of the Holy Spirit. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. The Comforter is the Spirit of truth. He goes forth from the Father, he shall testify of me. One of the problems with a whole lot of the Holy Spirit things, I believe in the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not in the business of glorifying the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is in the business of glorifying Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You read that verse right there. If you read that verse, you'd be safe from a lot of lies, you might be told. When the Comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. You know why you got saved? The Holy Spirit of God entered your life when you trusted in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It was the Holy Spirit that convicted you. It wasn't the guy that's talking to you or the mother that's praying for you. It was the Spirit of God that touched your being, your spirit, your inner being. And you got saved. Jesus Christ. And he testified of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ is the one that died for you. Christ is the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You may configure it all out and explain it. I can't. I just believe they're all God. And it's one God.
Amen.
One God represented in three ways. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Wow. When the Comforters come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now look at verse 27 and I'll finish. And ye also. Now what's he just talking about? He's talking about witnessing, testifying. And you also. You're going to be a witness too. Do you know why you've been saved? You've been saved to witness.
Amen.
He wants you openly witnessing. He wants you dressing like a Christian, talking like a Christian.
Amen.
Amen.
testifying of what the Lord's done in your life. You may not have some big testimony like Brother Spurgeon, being the head of a motorcycle gang and all doing all sorts of stuff and getting saved in prison and whatever. You may have been 8 years old. You weren't a drunk. You weren't a woman chaser. You got saved and got changed.
Thank you, Lord.
And He wants your testimony.
Amen.
And by the way, your testimony is just as valid as any big sinner's testimony. Ye also shall bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. The Comforter is going to come and He's going to remind you in your memory all the things that I did. How did these guys write these Gospels? They wrote them from memory. They were there. I've got some things in my life. I was there.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, I can explain everything, but I was there.
Yeah.
I saw some things. I did some things. Wow. He wants your testimony. You need to tell somebody your testimony.
Amen.
You need to witness to somebody. Some of your friends need your witness. They don't just need for you to stand up in front of them.
That's right.
They need you to tell your story.
Amen.
They need you to take a stand on certain things.
That's right.
God will bless it. Oh, you may lose friends.
Yeah. Amen.
And people may get mad at you. They may attack you. He said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Sure, some of it you may get. But boy, in a Christian country like you live in, what a grand opportunity you have. There's a church on every corner.
Right.
They're not all bad, they're not all good. You better pick them out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the Word of God is true.
Amen.
That book right there, I believe, is the written Word of God, and I'm going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ with it.
That's right.
He said, you haven't chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Wow. You're in that sentence. Do you understand? You're saved. The Holy Spirit of God lives within you. You got a Bible in your hands and you're able to read and write. Man, that sentence fits you. Well, I'll stop there. Have a good day.